Well, welcome everybody to the April edition of the TDC Connected Call. Obviously, we're all in limbo as we wait for the states to open back up their guidelines and allow for general dentistry to take place again rather than just the emergency surgery. We're going to go through that obviously today. We can talk about the loans that many of you guys have applied for, and we are hearing good news that people are starting to get those loans, get those deposits, so obviously that's helping. And we can also talk about some of the steps we may need to take moving forward with the marketing efforts. So I think we'll have a lot to discuss today. There is finally a light at the end of the tunnel. We are hearing that offices are opening up. In some states they've already opened for even general dentistry, and others are this weekend and Monday, and then still a few other states, California here being one of them, that's probably going to push this out until, I'm guessing, the 15th. So probably two more weeks for us here in California, but we'll see as those announcements come through. So I'm going to go over kind of some of the basics on that stuff, and then as always, really these meetings are always better when you guys participate in a big way, which you guys normally do, so thank you. To unmute your line, and Terry, I think you asked me specifically about this after the last meeting. You hit *6 on your phone. That'll unmute your line, and then you hit *6 again, and it'll remute it. So it's *6 to unmute your line, and of course *6 to remute it so we don't get that noise. So first of all, obviously we've all been trying to get these loans processed. There's two loans that you guys, from what I understand, have applied for. There's that SBA EIDL loan, or actually it's a grant. It is not repayable. It's typically, from what I've heard and understand, about $1,000 per employee. So if you're considered an employee and maybe your spouse, you probably got a $1,000 or a $2,000 check. So that is one loan that people have started to get. I've heard, I think, three or four owners now have received that. I keep mentioning my brother up in Fresno, as he's a small business owner. He got that grant yesterday, so he also received it. I think I spoke with a franchise owner yesterday who said that they had received an email saying that they were still in process and to expect to receive that in the near future. So hopefully you guys have either received those grants or you've at least received an email and information pertaining to getting that. As far as the PPP loan, some of you did apply for the Paycheck Protection Plan loan, which they are forgiving, from what I understand, in the paperwork and how it was written. Those monies that are used for salaries, directly for salaries, and then the money that is used for other business expenses may be repayable. However, it's at a pretty low rate. I want to say about 1%. So there's been three owners so far who have received the PPP loan and several others who have received the EIDL grant and or emails. So hopefully you guys are getting that. That was obviously a big concern for everybody in our last meeting that Steve hosted a few weeks ago. And I just wanted to follow up with you guys on that and let you know that some people have been receiving those funds. So if you have any questions on that, obviously we'll go through that. The marketing moving forward, I'm guessing, and I called it in my email, guys, less contact marketing, including probably a needed increase in promoting the mailers that you send out, whether that's the postcards like Monty and Joff send out, like Terry Bogdan sends out on, I believe, a quarterly basis. She does a mailer marketing program and tries to get business that way. She has some success with it. J.U. Banks has some success with it. That success rate may increase now that, you know, people know that they probably are going to be getting more mail marketing rather than people walking in the door. Not to say that that's going to end. It certainly shouldn't. Secondly, to get back on the phones, I did hear several success stories after we talked about that on the last meeting about getting on the phones and calling your bigger customers. Dale Giddings landed a couple of new customers, one he said that he had been trying to get for years and just could not get, and he finally got him on the phone. I think it was the middle of last week, and really big really big customer, big office, and he got them. So that was a success story I've heard from others, and that's why I had mentioned it to begin with. And then secondly, or thirdly, actually, on your visits, probably going to have to look at something like just wearing like a protective face mask, you know, like those blue ones that most of your dentist offices have. I don't think the N95 ones are going to be necessary. They're still trying to keep those in the medical community, not necessarily for folks like us, you know, regular citizens. And those things are hard to breathe in anyway. I've actually got one. I got one from a painter buddy of mine. And holy cow, I go into the grocery store, by the time I walk out, it's like barely breathe. So I wouldn't really want that one on a regular basis anyway. And then lastly, we can talk about the states opening back up. I mean, there's several have already opened. Some didn't close, the North Dakotas, South Dakotas, the Wyomings, Alaska, I think, for stuff like dentistry. We don't have any franchises up in those areas, so none of you guys were positively, I guess, affected by this whole shutdown, or not affected at all, I should say. Most other states look like they have a late April opening. I mean, I was going through a list this morning on state by state, and we're getting dates like the 21st, the 24th, the 27th, the 26th, the 30th, May 1st. Some are holding off or giving a release date of between May 1st and May 15th without a set date. From what I can understand on some of the Dental Association websites, what they're really trying to do is make sure that these dentist offices have the PPP gear in place. What happened at the start of this deal back in March was that they actually got dentist offices to donate a lot of the PPP product they have to local hospitals. So now, unfortunately, the situation, from what I understand and reading the different Dental Association websites, is they're okay with dentist offices opening back up as long as they have an adequate amount of PPE product in place. I'm sure it's mostly the masks. I can't believe people couldn't get gloves, because that probably wasn't an issue with hospitals, but the masks, I think, were the big thing. So as long as the dentist offices have that, I did read that, you know, they said, you know, dentistry is never going to be the same, and then I read deeper, and it was kind of a them sensationalizing everything like the media typically does. And what I read, guys, was that the employees for the dentist office are going to get screened on the way in the door to work every morning, which means just fill out a quick questionnaire. Do you feel sick? Do you have a temperature, a runny nose, cough, achy, fever, that kind of stuff, which is a simple, probably two-minute process. And then secondly, they're going to take a temperature of the staff member before they go to work in the dentist office. So to me, I don't know how that means dentistry is never going to be the same, because what's that, a 2 or 3 minute process for each employee as they walk in the door? Most of these offices have, what, 3 employees, maybe 4. As far as with the patients, they're going to have to also fill out that questionnaire before they walk in the office. I don't know how your offices are, guys. My office, personally, they always are adamant about the fact that if you feel ill or sick in any way, to reschedule. So they've been on that plan for the last 12 to 15 years, as long as I've been going there. So as a patient of my office, they already kind of pre-screen you and make sure you're feeling okay. So that, you guys, that's the extra step that patients might see. And then secondly, they'll probably have those little temperature readers and point it at your forehead and just make sure you don't have a fever when you walk in the door. So, and maybe eliminating, I have heard, I think, from some of you folks that they'll just have you wait in your car and then you text the office, or they text you, come in, and you just walk in, so you're not waiting in a waiting room, and you just walk straight through. Maybe they take your temperature real quick, and then they go seat you in room 2, and the procedure begins. So I think they're sensationalizing the dentistry is never going to be the same, because as most of you guys know, they're already wearing the masks. They're already wearing the gloves. They already have the glasses on. Every little piece of equipment that'll be touched in the dentist office typically has a little piece of disposable clear plastic on it, the little knobs and the little switches and the light and things like that. So I think dentistry is kind of, in my opinion, extra prepared for this on just a normal operating, you know, kind of standard operating procedures anyway, other than maybe that pre-screening for each patient before they walk in the door. So that's kind of what I had. I don't want to bore you by going state by state through what I kind of found out and what dates different places are opening. You guys may know that on, you guys may be checking that hourly or daily, whatever. But I'd certainly like to open the floor for discussion with anybody. Again, to unmute your line, you hit *6, and love to take some Q&A. I know some of your fellow franchise owners are always up for that. So any questions you guys have on all of this, we'll open the lines up for you.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. I know back to the mailing campaigns and even for phone lists, we talked last week about the you've been using the same company for years. I'm just curious if any folks out there are finding you know, anyone can recommend, this may have come up at the last convention too, but a good, more up-to-date list, or even have Google searching by, you know, each city or each zip code. So any light that anybody could shed as far as...
Okay, so you're looking at for customer lists, because you're going to be creating mailers, you're going to be mailing out more stuff. I mean, you've always kind of mailed stuff anyway, but... I've always, and I've made this pretty wide open, we get ours from dental lists. You can look them up online, contact them. Most of the time people call me and I just simply give them Larry's email address and he creates that list for you. His lists are not super up to date because they're probably up to date and over up to date on new stuff, but then there's lingering old stuff that is still there. And the reason is, and I asked him about it, he gets his lists from, and that dentalists.com gets their lists from, the registration for these dentists in every state, also email addresses that they've acquired through different publications and subscriptions to the different dental publications. Oh, and lastly, the registration information from the conventions, all the state and local conventions. So they're pulling all of their information from four or five sources. So the problem is, Dr. Jones might be registered under his office address with the, you know, the Michigan State Dental Association, but then for some reason he goes to some convention somewhere and puts his home address on there for whatever weird reason. So you end up getting Dr. Jones with a phone number and an office address, and then the very next line or a couple lines later will be that Dr. Jones and his darn home address. So I'm with you, Scott. The list, it's like you get more information than that. And then secondly, if a dentist moved sometime over the year between the last time he went to a convention and today, that old address, maybe the new address will be in there too, so you'll get three addresses now for Dr. Jones, an old office address, his home address, and maybe a new office address. So you might send out three postcards and one
right, and
back.
And he could also he could be partners with Dr. Smith, so Dr. Smith and Dr. Jones, it'll show up as two separate,
correct,
both of their individual, and then if their practice is called, you know, Happy Smiles Dentistry, so yeah, I mean, if that's what we have, we can filter and do things like that, but I just was curious if anyone in the group has found what they feel is effective.
This is John Sisti in Philly.
Yeah, John.
Hey, everybody. What I've done is Delta Dental is the largest insurer in my area in the Northeast, you know, Philadelphia. And I went, and that's the insurance carrier that my wife's company has. And, you know, the last three employers I had, we all use Delta Dental. I went to the Delta Dental website and put in my zip code as if I was looking for a dentist. And, man, I got a massive list of dentists, you know, and they're all pretty current because they've got to be, you know, accepting patients or in the Delta Dental network. So that's what I've been using like the last 8-9 months. And it's been... I have not gone to a single office that was in the Delta Dental or the insurance network that wasn't open or in business. Well, that's just, you know, what I've been using.
Well, that's a definite improvement, because with the list we get now, you may, I mean, if you're not careful, you might end up at their darn home address.
Hey, John, does it also have emails, or is it just the office address and phone numbers?
Depending on the particular office, they may or may not have the email address. Some did, some didn't. But, you know, it's something you can do for free. I don't know who the, you know, Delta Dental is a national, I think that's probably one of the largest that I know of. But, you know, go on their website and just say, I'm looking to find a dentist in my area. They'll tell you to punch in your zip code as if you're a customer. Well, a customer or you're a patient. You have their insurance, and you can type in your zip code, and, you know, I got several hundred offices.
Well, that's a nice resource. I don't know if that would be a complete resource, Scott, because if they're not signed up with the Delta Dental as an approved doctor, then they won't. I guess they wouldn't show up on the list. But at least all the ones that show up on the list should be current. Current.
Yeah, those are, you know, those would be all the ones that have insurance, you know, mostly through employers or stuff. But it's worked out really well for me. I don't know in different parts of the country if there are other networks, but if, you know, I was just sitting here Googling the largest dental insurance providers, and it came up United Healthcare, Delta Dental, Humana, Cigna. So I guess if you went to those other websites, you might be able to just type in a zip code that, as if you're a patient looking for a dentist, and you have their coverage. That's usually how it worked. Just a thought.
Well, that's a great thought, and it sounds like it's a great resource, at least for offices that you know are going to be there, because they're going to be currently updating that list, right?
Yes.
Good morning, and this is Erwin. When that list displays on your computer, are you able to select all and copy that all into, say, a spreadsheet or something?
What I had to do, unfortunately, was cut and paste one by one, and I copied them and threw them down in a Word document and just created a massive list. There's no way that I could figure out from Delta Dental's website, you know, how to copy and dump it down.
Okay. Thank you.
But still, it's, you know, if you sit down for an hour, you can cut and paste, you know, 100 offices.
No, I understand that. I was just looking for a quicker way. And then if you can get it into Excel, then you can automatically load them into a management application for yourself.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem.
Hey, Dave. I've used Air Credit.
I'm up in Canada.
Dave? Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm up
Hello,
in
this
Canada,
is...
and we've got, I guess, the College of Dental Surgeons. We've got the same kind of thing. So I go on and select all the ones from a particular city, let's say. But I have to do the same thing, copy and paste into Excel one by one. But
you have to do one by one,
dentist.
Gord?
I'm sorry?
There's no way to just copy the whole file?
I could not see that. I think it's for people who are looking for a dentist, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to somebody doing marketing. So, anyway, that's what I found. I'd be surprised if you didn't have a college for each of the states that licenses the dentist and all that.
Mm-hmm. Dave? Thanks. Yes. Yeah, Phil, what do you have, sir?
Well, you know, about the money thing, I hate to change the subject for a second. But I applied for unemployment, and I got it.
Yeah, they said they were extending that to sole proprietors now.
They
announced that a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes, and I don't make the same mistake as I made. to give them your gross, not what your net on your section C. That's what they want in your returns. And I did that, and I got less money. I got about $800 a week.
Do you do payroll?
No payroll, nothing. I just went over there. They asked me for my section C. They asked me for my gross, but I took home gross. I didn't do that. I took my net home because I'm on my deduction. I got like $35,000 in deduction. It's crazy, the deductions they give. And I did it after my deduction's on.
Did you go to an unemployment office?
I did it online. I went up to the state of
Indiana. Online. All right, I'm going to have to look into that.
And I got it right. I had to fill out the regular one. I get denied. There's another form that you got to fill out because you're self-employed, and you got to put down on your Section C of your income tax. You got to make sure it's only your Section C, not anything else, because I have other sources of income, and that's how they go by it, because that's what I actually do for a living. I just wanted to let everybody, I didn't know if anybody else have done this, but I just got a check for $2,100. So it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Are you still there?
Yeah, so you just did it online, and it was a pretty simple process. You made sure to, so make sure to put your gross down and the amount from your Section C.
Yeah, that's all they want, Section C.
Do you put a salary on a monthly basis?
No. I don't even use the, I just use the money to do things around the house and stuff. I don't have to take a salary. I just take the money. Because if you're a sole proprietor, you do not have to pay yourself a weekly salary.
Thank you.
So let me ask a question. So you filed regular and they denied you, and then you went through that COVID one, and then they accepted you through that one?
No, I don't know how they do it in your state, but in the state of New Hampshire, there's a COVID-19 section. There's one for self-employment. That's where you put your salary down. And it's a little confusing because they don't really explain what they want, but they want the Section C. That's all they ask for. It's a Section C one. Because I own apartment buildings. I get a pension and all kinds of stuff. They don't want nothing. Don't put.
Did they make you put a resume in?
No. Fill a form out.
Because I applied for the original one through the COVID, and they said we were ineligible. But then when I went to look at the other one, they said you needed to do a resume. So I was just wondering where you went.
Oh, no, I didn't have to do anything. The state has a form. I just hit the button on the form, fill it out, and send it to them.
Probably
all done online.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah, and they gave me the $600 the government's giving. Because New Hampshire doesn't pay anything for unemployment. It's really, if you become unemployed, you get $200 or $300 a week. That's it. I think the most they pay you is $450. So it worked out really good for me. And you just have to, it was just the paperwork.
How long ago did you apply for it, and then when did you find out you were going to get it, Phil? What was the timeline?
Well, I applied for it 4 weeks ago. I filled all the part. Every time I checked on it, every Sunday night I got to resubmit. And they kept on saying I was denied. Then I called them up, and I said, am I going to get this or not? And they said, well, you've already been accepted. And I said, so I keep on saying denied. He said, you will, because you're self-employed. Is that all the self-employed people are always deny. It's just that they just don't put it in their website, in your account. Then all of a sudden they just got the money yesterday. So that was nice.
Huh. Okay, so if you check on it, it says denied, but there you weren't denied, you were approved.
You were approved. That was another thing that was a little confusing. It's a little confusing how they do it because it doesn't make sense. Because the questionnaire asks you if you're affected by this outbreak, and you just say yes. And the rest of them is no. There's 20 questions they ask every week. So I don't know how the other state does it, because I know It's May 18th before they start opening up the state of New Hampshire, so. That's what the governor said last week.
Okay. It said May 4th, when I went online, they said they were going to be doing it in phases between May 4th and May 15th in New Hampshire.
Well, then the governor came in last Friday and said they're going to do it till 18th.
Okay, so
yeah. Because I've been looking at
COVID. About
yeah,
COVID.
So you're looking at two and a half weeks. Yeah. Probably the, what's that, 15th, the Monday after, 2 weeks from Monday?
Friday.
Okay, gotcha.
Because most of the offices I called, they told me that they're not going to open up until the 14th. That's what most of the offices I called, if they have a date, that's what they said. And I did the calling and I picked up a new customer that I've been trying to get for the last 8 years.
And just by making the phone call, you ended up talking to the right person and getting them?
Yeah, and all of a sudden they called me up afterwards and said, the person who runs it was a woman. It wasn't the doctor. It must have been his assistant. And they asked me how to get, I would send stuff to him, and I told them, and they sent me two hand pieces.
Now, when I talked to you... When I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, you said you'd done some calling and you had two or three.
But I mean, this one has actually sent me something.
Okay.
And there's another one who sent me something, and they haven't got back to me yet if they want to fix it or not. So unless I get something in hand.
A lot of docs are in holding patterns, and they're just waiting. I know, I think John McKinnon was talking to Bud, and Bud was relaying the message to me that he had several hand pieces there, ready to repair, good to go. He was just waiting for, you know, the doc, and they're approved by the docs, but they're waiting until, you know, he's waiting until they reopen, basically, to get them repaired and get them back to the docs. I think that's kind of how I understood it, so... I imagine a lot of people are like that. We have, you know, Bud's got five or six hand pieces sitting in front of him just waiting for that as well. I don't know if you guys are all experiencing the same thing or not.
Well, you got about eight hand pieces of mine right now waiting for the green light. One doctor called me back and told me yes, and they called me back and says, well, we'll hold off until afterwards.
Yeah.
So, and I got a bunch of stuff to deliver. I don't dare ship anything. Because these offices have nobody in them, most of them. Is everybody else having the same problem?
Oh, 99 plus percent of the offices where I live are closed. I received some instruments today to be sharpened and retipped. And I got a call from another office. That was actually a new office, ironically, and another office has said they're going to send me a bunch because they're getting ready to open probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and they want to have everything ready. But that's all I've seen.
Well, it's good that, I mean, I thought that a lot of offices, once the date was given, they'd get back in their offices, start kind of organizing, and then realize, oh, you know, crud, I've got, you know, two or three hand pieces sitting here that need to be repaired. I need to get those done. So I'm hoping for your guys' sake, for everybody's sake, that that's what happens in these doctors once they get a date finally and they start scheduling, putting appointments on their calendar, they make that a priority. I mean, I guess we're all hoping that, obviously, but it sounds like offices are going to be opening up to a you know, a certain level between now, within probably tomorrow and May 15th, for the most part.
Hey, David.
Yeah, Terry.
So I was just thinking about this yesterday. We've had a few hand pieces that we've picked up and repaired, and I just thought this was such a great opportunity for those that are interested in trying to get their customers converted over to mailers because of this COVID-19. So anything that I have been picking up, I have been mailing it back with a letter in the box that times have changed and, you know, we're trying to comply with what the CDC is saying, and we would like to offer them free mailing service, and then I go on to tell them how to do it, and that maybe going forward we could do it this way. And if they absolutely are opposed to it, then of course just call them. We'll still do it the regular way. But I just feel like this is an opportunity because of the social distancing and them still asking you not to go out, you know, as much as possible, that this would be a good time to convert offices to mailers. And that gives you more time to work on your marketing and different things, you know.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. If you've had any customers that you really wanted to get on mailers, this is the time.
Agreed.
I mean, it might even be the preferred way moving forward with dentist offices, just wanting to, I don't know, what would you call it, reduce their exposure to people walking in their office?
Right.
My biggest fear is always that, well, they're going to have a fear of people walking in their office and marketing, which is why those preliminary phone calls might be, Steve's promoted that, utilizing the phone as much as possible since day one, and it's throughout our marketing materials and CDs and all that. But, you know, you guys have been out there marketing your business probably a different way for the last 10-plus years, but it might be a good opportunity to start getting on the phones and not make an appointment, just do the, well, you know, I'd like to come by and just drop something off. And when they say okay, then they've kind of given you the okay to walk in their office. So if you come in and you've got, you know, a mask on, one of those blue little protective masks on, they're kind of expecting you. And you look like you're taking the PPE stuff seriously, right? I don't know. It's a thought. It's one that I think works. As long as you don't try and dead red set an appointment for Tuesday at 10 a.m. Because then they don't, might be busy. So that's when you get a little brushback. But, yeah, it's a great opportunity, Terry. You're 100% right to convert any customers to mailers. I think we're all going to have to start looking at probably with depending on the, you know, the customer base and what the CDC is kind of recommending or the ADA, is doing more mailers and more phone calls anyway. So this might be the opportunity. Terry, if you're still on the line, I know you do mailers. What is the, if you just knew offhand, how often do you do a mailer and do you get results from them? I imagine you get some results because you
do quarterly. And
okay, quarterly mailer.
Mm-hmm. And it usually costs me around $800 to do the campaign. I send out probably about close to 2,000 mailers, and the postage is what's expensive, you know.
Sure.
But I just figure if I even get one new doctor, it pays for it, you know. And I'll usually get, it's not a huge response, and interestingly enough, it's all my existing customers that like to use it, but that's okay. You know, it keeps them loyal, kind of. But I'll usually get one or two new doctors, and then that goes forward, you know, for years to come. And so I consider it a success if I can even pick up a couple new doctors.
Right, because after 1 year, you figure with an $800 campaign, you probably break even that first year on the campaign with that one doc, but then the years to come, it's obviously all a positive.
Right. Right. Sorry. And they usually send in the doctors that you get on those campaigns usually send you multiple hand pieces. They've just been kind of sticking them in a drawer waiting for that that discount to come or something. I usually do anywhere 10 to 15% discount, and I just put any make, any quantity, you know, and so they'll send in multiple hand pieces. So it usually works out. I mean, it's not like 2,000 doctors just all of a sudden send their hand pieces in, but, you know, a couple handfuls do. So I just figured.
Is this usually like a form letter or a postcard that you've, or mix and match basically?
It's more like a half a sheet of a postcard, so a big postcard, you know. It like on the front, it's like some sort of a special, like spring special or summer special or whatever, and their address. And then on the back, there's actually the coupon that they cut off. And then on the top part of it, it lists just some of our prices for, like, high-speed overhauls, electrics, just to kind of give them an idea of what we do and, like, our costs. And
is there any way you can – oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, sure.
Oh, I was just going to ask you to maybe send me a copy of one, and I'll send it out to the group.
Sure.
Okay, awesome.
Sure. You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Thanks.
And then right now, I just had a bunch of my loyalty cards printed up, and I'm going to start mailing those out as, like, a campaign because, you know, they can start earning the rewards, you know, to get their free handpiece. And I think that's a good one to do every now and then, too. So, and it gets them in their offices because some offices save them and use them every single time, and some offices throw them away because that's what the front desk does, you know. But it gets your name in front of them, and that's what I think is really important, is just continually having your name in front of them so they remember the logo. They remember the logo more than anything.
Hey, David, this is Jay. I have two questions.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Okay. One's for Terry. If you're doing this quarterly, are you spending $800 every quarter, so you're spending $3,200 a year on your mailers, or $800 a year? That's
no,
the first question.
No, it's $800 a quarter. But you'll pick up a different dentist each one, you know.
She's getting one to two customers per mailing, Jay.
Right.
New,
so you're getting
new
like
customers.
Yeah. Okay, so you're spending $3,200 and getting roughly 7 to 8 new customers, ballpark.
Probably, and then you'll
okay.
have old customers that will just, like, all of a sudden send you stuff that you haven't seen for a while, you know?
Sure.
So
okay.
it just stimulates, you know, it just stimulates some activity.
Right, makes sense. Okay, my second question kind of goes back to the PPP loans. I've never got a good answer, and I know the rules can keep changing, but if you're operating your TDC as an S corporation and your only two employees would be, in like in my case, my wife and I, and we are employees of the corporation, pay ourselves W-2, all that good stuff, but is there an exclusion that would prevent us from getting it? Getting the PPP loan forgiven because we are also owners of the corporation. Any idea how that could work?
Hey, let me chime in. Hey, Jay, Steve,
sure.
How are you?
Hey, Steve, how are you? I'm good.
Good, buddy. I haven't heard your voice in a long time. Good, great to hear from you.
Sure.
We don't know. We don't know. This is still a moving target, but I've heard from experts that said that, you know, you won't be excluded because you're an owner. It'll count towards that.
Okay.
But you want the money first, and once you got the money, then you have to spend it on salary, spend it on yourself. I don't think they're going
right.
to audit everybody in the United States. I think you're going to be good, and there'll be some forgiveness. So just make
okay.
sure you continue to pay yourself, and you should that portion should be forgiven. But it's not just your payroll. It includes other. There's a limitation on the other expenses, but go ahead and Google that, and you'll see that there's other expenses as well.
Okay. Well, according to our accountant, since for 21 years we've paid ourselves as employees, we have great paperwork trail, W-2, all that good stuff, tax and so forth, that he felt pretty comfortable without a specific exemption that says owners of corporations cannot do this. It was
right.
pretty safe. But I just thought I'd ask for
right.
if anyone had had any input on that. But thanks for the info. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Right.
Well, thanks for that, Jay. Somebody else may have that same question because I'm sure a lot of people just originally applied for that EIDL loan and then it kind of became, I don't know if they modified it from day one. I think it was a kind of a modification process over the couple of weeks there where they made that PPP loan available for more and more people.
Right, I understand that. Yeah, and it's all subject to change and clarification. Like the EDL thing originally was $10,000 per person, and they reduced it to $1,000 per person. It's just a moving target, but everything helps, and that's good news.
Yeah, I think they had to do that when the funds were disappearing at a historic rate, right? Because they funded that program, and then the funds were gone. It didn't help,
right.
But I think there were some big businesses that went way over the top with taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that in the news, but obviously the government wasn't real happy with some big corporations that got a major portion of that dough that was meant for small business owners.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
The LA Lakers got $4.3 million, if you can believe that.
I do.
Are you kidding me? Like they needed it. Oh my gosh.
There's always a way to play the system, and there are people who do that 24/7. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for that info. I appreciate the update on that. Thanks.
For sure. Thank you, Jay, as always, and Terry too for that all that information. And she's done those mailers constantly, I think year after year. I mean, just think about that. If you're getting 6 to 8 new customers a year just by that mailer, you know, Terry's been doing this for years. You know, that's a lot of customers. They add up, and she doesn't lose them. Like most of you guys, you keep 90% plus of your customers year over year. So that $800 investment for a couple of docs, it just pays off exponentially over, you know, the course of the years of running your businesses. So I know we've promoted it here. Some of you guys have utilized that. Some maybe haven't. But if you haven't, think about it. And Terry does always follow up, so I'm sure she's going to send me a copy of her her mailer. I'll be able to get that to you. I do know that Monty Bruner and Joff Hamilton out in Georgia are working on a mailer. They've kind of shown me some what they're doing with it. And I'll get that to you guys as well.
Yeah.
People do that PPO program.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I would ask, do you know?
Hello? Well, we may have some background from you guys. Remember, mute *6 to join in on the conversation and *6 to, again, mute your line after you've added. All right, we'll just open the floor here for the last 10 minutes. Any Q&A that you guys have, we're all ears, so ask away.
Hey, it's John. I have a question. Who was the one that received the unemployment?
That was Phil Pichette there in New Hampshire, right north of you.
Is he still on the line?
Phil, are you still with us?
Hey, David, Tony Davis.
I'll get you his number, John. Sorry. Yeah, Tony, what
I'm
do you
right
have?
I'm right here
now. I just wanted to let you.
Hey, Phil, how is your business? You're a sole proprietor?
An LLC.
You're an LLC because I'm an S Corp. I'm wondering if we could still qualify for unemployment.
Wow. An S Corp, an LLC, it has nothing to do with about this. An S Corp is a tax thing. So you're an LLC, but you're considered an S Corp. So this is how I understand. No, it doesn't make a difference.
Okay, I'm going to give it a shot. That's not something I tried yet.
Hey, the worst thing you can do is say no.
Right, exactly.
All right, okay. If you have any more questions, Dave can give you my number.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that afterwards. What did you have, Tony?
Well, I was going to just let John know I'm an S Corp and I'm doing unemployment through the state of Indiana. I applied on March the 20th, and then I had a paycheck that following week, and then I've already received 3 payments, and I sign up a new voucher every Sunday.
Did you just do it online?
Yes, sir. Because when you try to call a number, there's nobody available in the state of Indiana due to the coronavirus.
What website do you go to?
I just went to Indiana Unemployment, the state site, and did the unemployment thing is what I've did. I guess whatever state you're in, you can just put your state in unemployment insurance, and it probably will give you a link to the site that you need to go to. And I basically filled out a questionnaire, and every week it asked me if I've worked any, if you've refused work, if you're looking for work, if you're a union member, if you've got strike pay, if you have a pension, but if you're receiving pension, and all those questions are no. And then the next questions will come up like, are you affected by unemployment because of Corona-19? And you say yes. Then it'll ask if you're homebound because of illness or if you're taking care of somebody else, which I'm not. And I just submit that every Sunday night, and usually Monday, Tuesday, I've got my money in the mail. I've been receiving the $600 as well as what Indiana pays. And it also offered me an option to go ahead and have the taxes taken out of it so I don't have to do that at the end of the year and pay taxes. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks on unemployment.
Thank you so much.
And also, too, another thing, David, I do quarterly coupons, and we pass those out as we're out doing service calls, and I don't put any expiration date on them. I just tell them that they only can use one coupon per offer, you know, or repair. That way they're not saving up, and then I get hit by 5, 6, 7 coupons.
Right, and then are you getting new customers?
I have been, yes, because what we do with the new customers, we'll leave them all the information as well as the reward card and the whatever coupon I'm doing, because I do a spring, summer, fall, and winter coupon with no expiration date. I've had cards come in that are a year or two old because I'll put like the year, like I'll do, like right now we're doing summer of 2020. And that'll be at the top of the card, and I do a scenery background behind it, and I'll explain the card's good for repair at such and such value, only one coupon per repair, you know, and leave it like that. And I didn't do an expiration date because I didn't want my officers having to call me and say, well, I got this card, and it expired last week. Can I use it? You know, I just want them to use it whenever they get a chance to use it. And then on the rewards card, another thing I've been doing is putting a date that I issue the card, because I was getting some old cards and some newer cards, and everybody thought they had all these reward points because they weren't getting them punched all the time, and because I keep track regardless whether I get the card or not, because I want my officers to get the reward because it's very beneficial. They think they're – which they are. I mean, they're getting rewarded for their years of service with us and being loyal, and I just go ahead and give the rewards to them, and when they reach the 10th one – and I send a new card. Again, like I said, I put a date on it that I issue that card. That way there's no confusion whether it's an old card or a new card.
And how many new customers do you usually get on your quarterly? I mean, is there a number? Do you get one or two?
I might pick
five?
Up one, two,
okay.
You know, from time to time. It's not all the time, but from time to time. And then another thing about the dental offices, I know in the state of Indiana, we're supposed to be getting ready to open up next week, but I was in an office the other day that called for me to pick up a handpiece that's right near my house. And I asked him, I said, so what is the county or the state saying? And the lady printed off what Floyd County, the county that this office is in and I live in. And it says all this about how they can open up, but they are to avoid using dental handpieces and air water syringes. And I got thinking, okay, so then how's the dentist going to practice? And then the next line was, but if it's necessary, they got to do a four-hand evacuation procedure because of the aerosols that's going into the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my dental office, so what's this mean? They said, well, we're kind of confused because it says we can't use handpieces and air and water syringes, but then it turns out and says we can if we do this four-hand procedure on evacuation. So I don't know whether that means the dentist is there and then there's two assistants. So there's the four hands involved in evacuating or what, but it's really very gray on what they can and can't do. So I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I just thought it was odd. It said for them to avoid handpiece usage and air water syringe, but yet if it's necessary, and I thought, that's crazy.
Well, it's always going to be necessary if they're using the
hand. Yeah, I mean, that's what a dental office does, you know. So it's kind of crazy.
Okay.
It's going to be definitely a learning curve, you know, so.
There's a new product out by Ajax. This is Bailey, by the way.
Hey, Bailey.
There's a new product out by Ajax Dental coming out of China. Patterson's going to be pushing it real hard. It's a non-contact aerosol collection type unit that basically you just hover it above the patient's face in addition to traditional intraoral suction. And then also there's another guy that came out with something that essentially covers the patient's mouth for when they expectorate to remove whatever. And that's going to be pretty cheap. I mean, there are going to be a number of different ways to work around that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to just kind of have a hovering, you know, unit a few inches or several inches above a patient. It just sucks in all of that debris.
Yeah,
that
and
gets
that's
in
probably
the air.
Something.
Yeah.
That's probably something that you know, if we wanted to touch base with Ajax, that might be something even we could sell.
Filing for unemployment.
Well, thanks for
Dave,
that, Bailey. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a product, that type of product through Bayes, I believe, that they just sent an email. I'm assuming you got the email as well, but I could forward it to you. I'm assuming it's available for all of us to sell.
Okay, awesome. I'll look at that and then forward that to everybody as well. All right, guys, well, I think we've ended our time limit here. Look for some emails from me following this phone discussion. I'll get the postcards from Terry and hopefully talk to Monty on his, and then get you that information Bailey and Scott just talked about. If you have any, like, more further questions on the unemployment, things like that, I can maybe host another one of these and get Phil involved with more information. So let me know and we could move forward in that direction. So thanks, everybody, for your input. Obviously, good luck, everybody, out there with this kind of changing dynamic we're going to have to deal with probably, I'm guessing, throughout the summer here. So hopefully it's all's well, and keep in touch on all this stuff, guys. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.